Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest episode. Lucy, how are you doing all the way in? I'll let you tell the listeners where you are, but yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good. I am in the ghetto, aka Paris.
You love
where
it,
the
really.
Ghetto open is.
You love it, really.
That's the thing. That's the funniest thing, is that I actually do love this place, but I can't stop talking about how ghetto this place is compared to London. So I'm always teasing them. So shout out to all the French listeners, but Paris is the ghetto.
No, it's cool. Recording this early on a Sunday morning, which is, yeah, far too early for me, but it's all good.
Far too early for both of us. We're for a minute.
Well, you are an hour ahead, so yeah. But
just 1 hour. But the thing about it, I'm still in the UK time.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, true. No, I hear you. But yeah, let's get into it. So as we do with all shows, a roundup of like previous events. Obviously, the Olympics is pretty much done. Well, it's been done. The tennis, anyway, was done, I want to say, a week ago. But yeah, it officially ends as we record. So this on a Sunday, it ends on Sunday. Rounding up events, obviously, Naomi Osaka, she lost in the third round to the eventual silver medalist Markéta Vondrousova of the Czech Republic. And yeah, after the match, Osaka said like the pressure was a bit much, like in terms of like the lead up and like all of the kind of, she was literally the face of the Tokyo Olympics, obviously being Japanese. And I just thought, yeah, it was like quite honest of her to like just admit that. I don't know how you felt about like, yeah, her losing.
Obviously it was heartbreaking. Yeah. I really wanted her to, you know, be there for a while, and like it would have been amazing if she won this, but again, I can understand like the pressure, and first of all, that's the thing. I think it probably would have been a bit easier if there wasn't all of that issue.
Yeah.
The whole French Open issue and everything, and everyone putting all their eyes on her. I think it wouldn't have been that bad if there wasn't all of that.
Yeah, no,
I think
that.
if she had a good season where, you know, she was just playing, even if she lost, but there wasn't all that talk and everyone talking about her and whatnot, that added even more pressure on it.
No.
Because this is something that she knew she was going to do since, you know, the whole torch thing. I think that was even in a talk since March. So she had to like keep it to herself.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are things that she knew was going to happen. So adding that everything she was going through definitely wasn't as convenient, but still, she still made history. She's still making history for her country, Olympics or not. You know, what she has done for her country or for Asian people overall as a tennis player is more than enough. So
yeah,
I just hope that she doesn't go on about it too much mentally, and just be proud of how she did it. And she lost against someone who won a medal at the end anyways, not like she lost to someone who flopped the next round. So
Well said. I agree, and like, not to kind of like take anything away from like any of the Olympians or medalists that have won like medals at this Olympics, but it's not an Olympics like we're used to kind of seeing, in terms of like, yeah, there's
exactly.
No crowd. Like it just feels really weird. And again, I don't want to like demean like the athletes' achievements that have won medals, but let's just be real. Like, it's not been a normal Olympics basically. So
at all.
I think that should really be taken into account. Like when we kind of, just look at and like analyze all these athletes' like performances. And obviously there's like a lot of like kind of controversy around like Simone Biles, for instance, like in gymnastics, and you know how she kind of said she's going to take some time away, and like she didn't compete in all the events that she was supposed to or that she was scheduled to. I think, and if anything as well, Osaka, she kind of started that, like, not, I don't want to say it's a trend, but like she made it okay for like athletes to be like, you know what, I'm not good mentally, like I'm gonna, you know, take some time away and like, yeah, just focus on myself for a bit. So yeah, man, massive credit to Osaka. Like obviously we look forward to seeing her during the American hardcourt swing. But yeah, just to quickly round up, so obviously Switzerland's Belinda Bencic ended up winning gold, which is a bit which is a bit of a surprise. Yeah, so some interesting takes on Twitter, which you don't need to get into, but yeah, Alina Svitolina, aka future Mrs. Monfils, she ended up winning bronze, which is a good look for her. So shouts out. And in the men's event, Alex Zverev, he took the gold, and yeah, he beat Russian Olympic Committee, that's their official name, Karen Khachanov, yeah, in that final. So Khachanov took silver. And in the bronze medal match, this was a bit of a surprise, so it was Novak Djokovic versus Pablo Carreño Busta of Spain, and yeah, Carreño Busta won, which was a bit of a shock. I know you must have been quite happy. So, Novak left Tokyo with no medal, which was a bit of a surprise.
It was the best early gift I could ever have, honestly. Shout out to him, though, but I'm so sorry that I can't. Because US Open is coming, and he's getting too many things that he needs to relax. I was like, no, stop.
Did you see Did you see Nadal's comments as well? Because he was asked about, basically, yeah, because Novak lost his temper.
The whole racket thing. Yeah. But the journalists did flip a bit. Like when I read the whole thing that he proper said, it wasn't as bad as people were putting it, to be fair. But the whole racket thing, that people need to stop making a big deal about it.
No, I hear
and, like,
you.
Even after that, and especially to non-tennis fans who probably don't even listen to this part, but if you do, please stop bringing up Serena every single time someone like throws a racket. Like, I hate when they do that. They're like, yeah, but if it was Serena, she was in it. And I'm just like, bro, it's not every time. Like, relax. I feel like the way people make a big deal about it, be like, oh yeah, you know, he's a big player, he shouldn't be. Da-da. These are things that we want. They're realistic.
Yeah. I like seeing emotion. I'm sorry. Like
that's what I'm saying. That's what makes the sport.
Because they care.
Hello. Like it's not a big deal. Like, do you get what I mean? As long as no one's getting injured,
exactly.
Then I don't see what's you know the problem. But I was surprised when Nadal was like kind of making that. Like, it wasn't as bad. But at the same time, I was like, bro, like, relax, because you can do this the next tournament.
Yeah.
Like, don't think you're too, you know, as much as you guys are media trained, like, you're still going to lose your temper. No, Roger has done it, they've all done it. Like, 100%. They all be shouting in insults in their language, they don't say it in English. You know, you're probably saying some crazy stuff, but and I'm not even like the way people going on at Novak during that time was very, and I don't even support, I was like, you guys are stretching it, like, relax.
Fair play,
but.
Yeah. So yeah, that's like the Olympics kind of wrapped up. We did have, obviously, when we the last episode we recorded, it was funny because the timing was just like kind of all off. So we were like literally talking about Osaka's upcoming match with Vondrousova, and I think Francis Tiafoe was due to play Tsitsipas as well, and then they ended up both losing, like, pretty much the day we released the pod. So it was like, this is really outdated now, but oh well. But yeah, quickly on TFO, so he lost to Tsitsipas in that second round match, which wasn't really, I think Tsitsipas played quite well, although he did lose, I think he lost in the third round or the quarterfinals, so that was a bit disappointing for Tsitsipas. But staying with Francis, he then announced that yeah, him and Zach Evenden were parting ways. And obviously that's both friends of the pod. We've interviewed both Zach and obviously Francis on the podcast, through Zach actually. So like, yeah, when that news kind of broke, to be honest, we knew about it like, well, months ago really and truly, but obviously they made it like official a few weeks ago. And yeah, obviously they started working together in 2017, I want to say. And in that time, TFO won his first ATP Tour title in Delray Beach, and that was in 2018. And also won two Challenger events as well while Zach was working with him. So like a successful partnership, and something that we posted as well, like in our story, basically said something along the lines, like basically their kind of coach player alliance, like was, it meant something far greater than that, like in terms of just visually what it represents. Just because obviously we don't see that many black coaches like on the ATP tour or WTA tour. So for me, like, it's a, it's sad that like we're not going to see that anymore. Like obviously with Francis and Zach, but hopefully Zach will, you know, find someone else to coach.
Yeah, it would be quickly nice to see another black coach.
No, exactly. Definitely. Like, because it's inspiration. Like, it's kind of showing, you know, other kind of kids that, yeah, if you don't make it pro, or like if you're not a player, you can be a coach. Like, that's something you can actually, you know, do, like, and achieve. Because we all know, like, visibility and, like, visible representation is, like, so important. So, big shout out to Zach, and obviously, we wish we wish him all the best. So, rounding up again.
Oh, so, by the way, before we think, speaking of Francis, he did, he said something very cool, well, not cool, but I really appreciate for saying that, because I was like, finally, some, you know, some real shit. I think they must have asked him about Novak and everything. He was like, yeah, yeah, he's great, but I need him to stop winning. Like, I'm trying to win as well. Like, and my, I saw that video and I quote tweeted, and I was like, finally a realistic answer.
Yeah, I think that was during the CT Open.
Yeah, they were asking him about, you know, Novak Djokovic and him winning all these slams and blah, blah. He was like, yeah, I need him to stop winning. Like, it's enough. And it's like, you know what? Thank you. He's like, I'm trying to win. Like, this guy's just out here taking all the stuff. So shout out to Francis for giving us a little bit of some real, some real nigga shit.
Always shouts out to Francis. But yeah, so wrapping up the roundup, so Mikkel Immer, again, reached another quarterfinal. And this time it was in Kitzbühel in Austria. And yeah, it was tough. Like, he served for the match twice, and he was playing against Casper Ruud, who was just on a stupid run. I think at the time, Ruud had won, I think, two titles back to back. And then obviously he ended up winning Kitzbühel as well, and that was his third title in a row. So yeah, it was just crazy to kind of see. Like, Emma's been playing really well actually, like this this year, as we kind of said already, like on previous pods. But yeah, I think he'll be that defeat would kind of haunt him, I think, for a bit, just because obviously he had the opportunity to serve it out twice and didn't. And I like what Casper Ruud said after the match as well. He basically said, listen, like, this is the thing about tennis, like, the best player doesn't always win, like, you know, and that really pretty much summed up, like, the match. Like, I think the third set, Ruud won 6-love, but at that point, I think, Immer just kind of switched off and, like, was just zoned out, like, by, I guess you can say traumatized by, like, not serving out in the second set, but... it is what it is, you know, this is tennis. So shouts out to Mikkel Immer. And yeah, Katrina Scott, so she's been really exciting actually. So she's currently playing a WTA 125 event, it's the Faro Tennis Open in Concord, Massachusetts. But before that, so the week before last, she was playing the LTP Women's Open, which we did tweet about. And yeah, she's, she secured her first top 100 win, beating Madison Brengel 6-3, 6-love. And then she lost in the second round to Jamie Loeb. And that was a three set match. But yeah, just so good to see Katrina Scott. Like, she's 17 years old. I think she burst onto the scene last year at the US Open because she got a wild card, won a round. And yeah, like, she's been talked up like quite a lot in America, so definitely a name to kind of look out for. But yeah, last week now, so she was at the Faro Tennis Open, and yeah, she had a wild card, and that was a WTA 125 event again. She beat world number 94 Lauren Davis in the first round, And again, like a great performance. I watched that match because they literally streamed all the matches on their website. And yeah, she ended up reaching the quarterfinals. Obviously, that's her first like WTA quarterfinal. But she did lose in the end to Magdalena Freck of Poland. And that match, it kind of was played over 2 days because of bad light. Because the club is like, it's a pretty much like a local kind of like tennis club. So there's like no floodlights. Yeah. So literally when it got dark, they had to like just wrap it up. But yeah, that was a free set match. And she did serve for it, I want to say, because she was, I want to say 5-3 up in the third set. But yeah, Magdalena Freck broke back and ended up winning and taking it. I think it was 7-5 in the end in the third. But just good to see Scott like
tight one
competing. Yeah. Like she's 17. Obviously, like we all kind of know about another famous 17-year-old doing her thing in America. But
yeah.
It's just exciting to see like another like black girl kind of coming up. And yeah, staying at the Foro Tennis Open. So Alicia Parks, she was a wild card. She lost in the first round. I think she played Storm Sanders in the first round. And then we had Robin Anderson and Victoria Duval. They both came through qualifying. But yeah, they unfortunately lost in the first round as well. But yeah, just good to see like a healthy number of like, yeah, black women playing tennis, man. Like it's great, like at this level. So shouts out to all of them.
Yeah.
Then we had the Silicon Valley Classic in San Jose. Madison Keys, she was the third seed, so she had a first round bye, and she played China's Xiao Zhang in the second round, and that was a two set defeat for Keys. Two tight sets though. I didn't watch it, but I think it was like 7-5, 7-6 that she lost. Sloane Stephens, she also was in that draw, so she played Cassie McNally in the first round. I did watch this match.
Apparently it was really good.
It was mad. So McNally was 4-love up in the first set, and I was like, Jesus, this is going to be a bit of a horror show for Stevens. But yeah, she literally flipped it. Like, just, I think she won like 7 games in a row. So like, nice. Yeah, she ended up winning in straight sets. And then she lost in the second round to Danielle Collins, who I think's in the final as we record.
Yeah, so, that's, yes. I mean, it is Danielle Collins.
Yeah, she's banging form as well. So, like, again, no kind of, like, kind of, yeah, shame in losing to Collins, who's, like, yeah, banging form at the moment. And then Robin Montgomery, she was also in the qualifying draw, although she lost in the first, or the, no, she lost in the final round of qualifying. But she did play doubles with Ashleen Kruger. I want to say she's a young American girl. And they lost in the quarterfinals to the top seed. So shouts out to them. And then, yeah, the City Open, which we were kind of watching. Did you watch any of the City Open in Washington? And I guess for you, it's quite difficult.
No, because I had to... No, the thing is that I have Amazon Prime to watch all the tennis, obviously. But I didn't have a VPN by then because Amazon Prime is blocked in France.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I literally quickly paid for, like, £10 for like a VPN for a month and stuff, so now it's working. But I kind of like miss some.
City Open, we had Felix Auger-Aliassime, who was the second seed, so he got a first round bye. And yeah, he played Andrea Seppi in round two, and yeah, he won that in three sets. And I was quite like not nervous, but obviously Seppi is someone who he lost to at the French Open, and that was a four set match this year. So, yeah, it was good. It was good for Felix to kind of get his revenge on Seppi there. But then he did go out in the third round to Jenson Brooksby, this American like guy who's been killing it on the Challenger circuit. So he's 20 years old.
Whenever I see his name, I think Bobrisky.
Like everyone kind of knows who he is now. but yeah, he was playing some inspired tennis, like. Literally took out Felix in straight sets. And it's funny, not to say funny, TFO lost to Brooksby in round two. So we could have had a Francis Felix third round match in City Open, but we were denied that.
They love putting the niggas together.
Unfortunately. But yeah, so TFO like I said, he lost to Brooksby. He was a 16th seed, so he also got a first round bye. But it was good to see TFO and Nick Kyrgios team up in the doubles.
I loved that. I was so happy. Well, you guys know how much I love Nick.
What do you make of my little nickname? I didn't really Frannick.
You know what? You did well. Like, sorry. You did well, Frannick. Yeah, you did well. I have to give you that. Well done.
So, yeah, they beat the third seeds, Rehan Vapana and Ivan Dudig, in round one, which is a good win. Like, obviously, they're seeded and, like, they're established doubles players. But, yeah, they lost in the second or the quarterfinals even to Sebastian Korda and Yannick Sinner. To like next gen like stars, but yeah, just really good vibes like between TFO and Nick.
Yeah, definitely.
So hopefully we see more of that like going.
I think
forward.
they're actually friends off court. No, so yeah, that definitely makes it more thingy definitely. As well. And yeah, it would have been nice to see it more.
Yeah.
I think speaking of that, I think Nick actually even asked Coco if she wanted to do mixed doubles for the Australian Open because she did an interview. I think they must have asked her, like, which player would you like to... I can't remember what was the question. And then basically it was something positive and she mentioned Nick. Yeah. And then he, like, appreciated blah, blah, blah. And then his following tweet was, like, mixed doubles for the Aussie Open. That would be cool, though.
That'd be sick.
I love how he's just trying to play with everyone and stuff. Like, that's one thing I like about Nick is that he always... One thing I like about him, he always tried to make the sport fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And he always, like, he, business-wise, he knows what to do to make tennis, like, out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, shout out to him for, you never know, we might get another mixed doubles.
No, yeah, I think US Open, I think there's going to be some nice matchups as well, both.
Ah, I can't wait for the US Open.
The men's and, like, mixed.
Yeah, so we'll 100%.
See. We'll see. Yeah, so wrapping up at the City Open, we had Elias Immer, who came through qualifying. And yeah, he won his first round match against Jordan Thompson after coming back from a set down to do so. So that match also ended in, like, I say controversy. There was, like, beef at the end of that match.
Yeah, I saw some.
Yeah. Because I was watching that, like, live, and it's funny because I think Thompson took issue with... the ball bouncing twice, or according to him anyway, the ball bounced twice on Yimmer's side. But the umpire said no, it didn't. Immer got there in time. And then in the end, yeah, I think Immer broke his serve to win the match. It's like, obviously that was like affecting Thompson, like, you know, like I guess mentally or whatever. But at the end, they kind of had to like kind of be separated because they touched.
Really?
They at the net, they like fist pumped to like say, oh yeah, like good match. But then they were like, Thompson was still going with the verbals, like saying, oh, I couldn't really hear what you were saying, but like he was pissed off basically. And then Immer was I'm playing by the rules. Like I'm obviously going by what the umpire said. And I thought he kind of handled himself quite well, like considering it was kind of escalating, but it didn't quite get physical, thankfully. But yeah, the umpire was down from his like, chair straight away, like to basically get between them because he obviously didn't want anything to kind of like kick off. But yeah, like you don't really see that like in tennis. Like obviously it's the ultimate gentleman sport. Like, but
that's the thing, which is that's what I want to end. Like, I like the whole.
You like the drama.
Rah rah rah. Yes. Please. That's enough.
We did get some. I don't even really want to like acknowledge it, but there were some tweets that we got. Saying, oh, like, are you serious? Because I said that I appreciate the way Immer handled himself. I thought he handled himself quite well. But yeah, like, there's some tweets that, like, kind of took issue with that, saying, oh, like, what are you talking about? Like, he's a cheat and all this. Didn't engage because we're not doing that. But it is what it is. But anyway, yeah, back to the tennis.
Oh, God. If it was the other way around, they wouldn't have said anything.
I mean, we'll, yeah.
You know that.
We'll leave that there. So Immer, he ended up losing in the second round to another Australian, John Millman, and that was a straight sets defeat. Immer's playing some good tennis at the moment as well, so I think he'll be playing qualifying for the US Open, so hopefully he gets through qualifying and earns his place in the main draw. And yeah, Lucy, that wraps up our like roundup. Pretty long one, to be fair. before we get into like the Masters stuff and obviously Montreal, the ladies, I want to talk about the King Richard movie, which is out or due to be released in November. Obviously, we would have all seen like the, what do you call it? I can't even think of the word. It's too early in the morning. Trailers, exactly. obviously, Will Smith is playing Richard Williams. And like, yeah, he's been touted for like an Oscar. Like, apparently, it's like that good a performance. And then for Serena, I think it's Demi Singleton. She's playing Serena. And Sanaa Sidney, she's playing Venus. And yeah, just from the trailer, for me anyway, I think it looks amazing. Like, I'm really, really excited about it, and like, I can't wait to see it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, better than I expected. I think once we all found out that Will Smith was going to be on it, I was just like, oh, okay.
I think Will Smith is such a good actor. Like, I think he's a.
I think he's good, but the way, like, to me, I don't know, I kind of felt like, I'm pretty sure they could have gotten any other dark skin thing. Like, I don't know, to me, I felt like it was a bit kind of forced to put Will Smith, the big star, and da-da-da, but I kind of feel like, do you know who I think could have actually killed it?
Hold on,
I forgot the name. Let me get the name.
I think I know you're going to say. Yeah.
He's British.
Oh, okay, no.
Delroy Lindo.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
If you see his face, you know who he is.
Let me Google.
If you see his face, Delroy, D-E-L-R-O-Y, Lindo. I feel like he could have killed it.
Okay, yeah. Is he English?
Yeah, he's British, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, it says British American on Wikipedia.
He's
okay.
A Peckham guy. He's a Peckham guy. He's from Peckham.
No, I see that, yeah.
Yeah, do you get what? Something like that, but still, I feel like... even a lot of the William fans are actually really happy with the trailer. A lot of us like were like, wow, okay, this actually might look good. I'm looking forward to it.
I was like, oh, I hope obviously Venus and Serena have had like a say in it.
Apparently they were executive producers.
Yeah, because when I saw Serena post on her Insta, I was like, oh, thank God. Like,
yeah.
She approves. So
she approves, yeah. So long as
they're okay with it, for me, it's fine.
And that's, yeah, exactly. Because I thought at the beginning they were not in it at all. And that's when I was a bit like, okay. But now that I found out that she's in it and everything is fine, some of the fans, like the hardcore fans, were like, they kind of put in, they felt like Oracine, you know, could have deserved like more and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I actually think she doesn't want to be out there. I actually think.
Because this is the thing. Not to cut you, but I've read Richard Williams' like autobiography.
And like, I think, yeah, you told me, yeah.
Lucy, it's one of the best things I've read. Like, the guy, he's a phenom in terms of like just the way he thinks. Like, so it was very much like him who like engineered almost their careers pretty much. And like he had this down from early. Like he had this vision.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get me? So and this is the thing, like obviously I'm not trying to like compare the movie to the book because you should never really do that. And like, yeah, I always find that books are much better than the film, and I don't want to like dismiss the
film. 100%. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, yeah, I think people need to read his book to really get a sense of like what he's about. And like, yeah, literally it tells you the story of like him bringing up champions basically, and like having this vision of doing so from very early on. So I would definitely recommend the book, but yeah, the film, I think it's going to be great. And like another thing as well, with like sports films in general, like they tend to be quite corny. This doesn't really give me that vibe.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
it feels quite like gritty. So
genuine and stuff.
That's why I'm excited. And also the girls look like they actually could play tennis. Like, the way they were like hitting walls and stuff, I was like, oh, damn, yeah, okay, I see you. Like,
so they had to, man.
I'm excited for it, and like, I just hope.
I think one of them is actually a huge Serena fan. I think one of them were actually watching. There was a picture I saw on Twitter. I think one of them was actually at a Serena match or Venus match. I can't remember. So that's pretty cool.
I love that. That's sick. So we look forward to that in November. Mm. And yeah, like hopefully we can like go along to like the premiere or something, because obviously cinemas will be back open by then.
Is it?
So
yeah.
We'll see.
Black Spin.
We'll see.
Black movies. Black tennis movies. HBO. Holla.
Exactly. Holla. Exactly.
Holla.
But yeah, like rounding up now. So we've got the National Bank Open. This is quite confusing. So the men are in Toronto because it's a Masters 1000 event, and the women they're in Montreal because it's a WTA 1000. So yeah, let's start with the women. So we've got Coco Gauff, seeded 15th. She starts against Anastasia Sevastova. Literally, she plays like every other week. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm like, what is their problem?
So yeah, that to be fair, the last time they played, Coco won. So we're gonna call for another Coco.
Yeah, true.
Win. Call for another Coco win there. Madison Keys, she's the 16th seed. And yeah, she plays Rebecca Marino of Canada, actually. Mm. So that's a home favorite there. But yeah, I'm expecting Keys to come through that pretty comfortably, hopefully. And Sloane Stephens. Ooh. This is an interesting one. Diana Jastremska, who bust case.
bust case, bro.
Again, I'm going to say Stephens will win that, but obviously Jastremska, she's a dangerous player. But yeah, I'm going to call a Stephens win there. And then we've got Heather Watson. So she's playing qualifying. So she, as we record this, she's got one more round, she's in the final qualifying round. So she plays Clara Borel of France. And then obviously she wins that. She's through to the main draw. But yeah, it's a pretty stacked field Montreal. Like, I think Sabalenka's the top seed. And it's funny, I say funny. So if Stephens wins, she plays Sabalenka in the second round.
That would be interesting.
That's a blockbuster. And the mm-hmm. second seed is Bianca Andreescu, who makes her long-awaited, return. She plays.
She's got a new coach, which, funny enough, is Stephen's old coach.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
They were not together for too long.
I forgot
that's
his name.
Sharapova coach.
Sven Gronefeld.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a stacked field. Like, Halep's back. Obviously, she hasn't played since... Well, the last slam she played was the Aussie Open. She didn't play the French or Wimbledon. So it's good to see her back. Konta's in there. Tori Konta. Who else?
Tori Konta.
Yeah, it's back. So we've got Kvitova. So we've got Gauff. Just going through... Svitolina's back as well with her bronze medal. But yeah, it's just good to see all the players back, like, because obviously not everyone went to the Olympics. But yeah, everyone's pretty much gearing up for the US Open. So some big tennis ahead. And on the men's side, so they're in Toronto, like I said. So you've got Felix Auger-Aliassime and Gael Monfils. So... both seeded. So Felix is the 9th seed, which is incredible. And yeah, Monfils is seeded 11th, so they both have first round byes. Felix, also happy birthday. It's his birthday today, isn't it? And
Roger Federer as well.
So big shout out to like...
Leo's, Leo it's gang, Leo, it's Leo gang, season. Gang. Leo season, shout out to Felix, shout out to the GOAT, Roger Federer. Roger's 40, that's absolutely crazy.
It's mad, isn't it? It's so mad.
So crazy. And Felix is how old?
21.
21.
Grown now.
Wow.
You can drink.
Crazy. In America. And Canada and whatnot.
But yeah, so Felix, he's due to play either Dusan Lajovic or a qualifier in the second round. And Monfils, he'll either play John Millman or a qualifier in his opener. So good luck to both of them. Francis Tiafoe, he's also playing qualifying, so he beat JJ Wolf in three sets in his first qualifying, in the first qualifying round, sorry. And yeah, he plays Finland's Emil Ruusuvuori in the final round of qualifying. So yeah, good luck to Francis. And again, Toronto, pretty stacked. So we have, who's the top seed? I think Med. Yeah, Daniil Medvedev is a top seed.
Medvedev.
Obviously Nadal's in there as well, second seed. Quickly on Nadal too, a bit of a surprise him going out in at the City Open to Lloyd Harris. He'll play Lloyd Harris most likely in his first match in Toronto.
I'm so dead. But you know Nadal, Nadal is a very competitive person, so yeah, Nori might get it very, very bad. If he beats Nadal again, then that's good, like, nah.
So,
but yeah. I think Nadal, because he has an injury, right?
No, he said he was good, like, yeah.
Okay, I thought his injury was still bothering him.
No, he said he
was good. No, sorry, that was Federer. I think I was...
Yeah, Federer's pulled out. Federer's not playing, so he's not playing... Yeah. He's not playing Toronto, and I think he's pulled out of Cincinnati as well.
I think that's why, yeah. But even for Nadal, I think even, apparently that first match was even, his first match was kind of a close one. I think it went to a three-setter.
Yeah, against the American.
But apparently it was a very good match.
I didn't watch any of it because it was just happening too late, but
yeah.
Obviously it's always good to see Nadal back. He didn't play Wimbledon. So yeah, it's just good to have him back.
I'm looking forward to seeing him this US Open. I think he's going to be mentally, you know, people took away his baby. French Open. That's his baby. So he's coming for blood.
Novak, watch out.
Facts.
So yeah, that wraps up this episode, Lucy. So we can leave you to it now to go and enjoy Paris.
Listen, I think I'm even going to nap a little bit I turn up tonight. But yeah, looking forward to some more tennis. Hopefully the time difference is not going to kill me too much.
To be honest, we're in it now. So like, yeah, we're on American time. So
yeah, we are.
Late night.
But the good thing about the American, but that's what I like about America, because I can watch the matches like, after work. Type of thing.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Whereas the other ones are doing work, and I'm out here like working and turning my eyes. And whereas now it's at 4 o'clock, boom, it's tennis time till God knows when.
The only thing is, I don't like missing stuff like happening overnight. Like that's just annoying.
That's the only thing. Yeah. But hey, this is the sport that we decided to enjoy.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, guys, man, appreciate you as always for tuning in. And yeah, we just hope you enjoy all the tennis that's coming up. Obviously, we're literally now bang in, like on into the US hard court swing. So yeah, just enjoy it, take it all in. And yeah, we'll keep you posted on all the socials as usual. And until next time, take care.